cowboy, and they say I'm crazy. But I live for the silence and the touch of my fine lady. Breathe the clean air, I drink the water, and at night I fight the madness of a culture gone down. Desperate howling to the farm dog who's in heat, as 100,000 nightmares fade away. I shot my TV, I burned my taxes, and I'm living in a shack about 100 miles from town. Here in the desert, they cannot find me. Night I fight the madness of a culture gone down. A night sky full of endless stars with only you and me. The crackle of the campfire and the brush blown breeze. Blanket round our shoulders, fending off the winter freeze, as 100,000 nightmares fade away. I am a cowboy, and they say I'm crazy. But I live for the silence and the touch of my fine lady. Breathe the clean air, I drink the water. At night I fight the madness of a culture gone down. I am a cowboy, and they say I'm crazy. But I live for the silence and the touch of my fine lady. Breathe the clean air, I drink the water. And at night I fight the madness of a culture gone down.
Train load is rolling.
big cattle country, ever farther from my home. Deeper in the desert, hear the dingoes howl. 100 miles to water, 100 miles an hour, and we're rolling. Got to keep on moving on. And through that big desert country, ever farther from my home. You, woo, woo, woo. You, woo, woo, woo. You, woo, woo, woo. You, woo, woo, woo. You're never home. You're always out there wandering. It's the only home you know. Oh, Johnny Cash and Orbison, Midnight Oil and Pride, blasting on the tape deck. You take me to the other side, and we go rolling. Got to keep on. Big country, country, ever farther from my home. Barefoot on a red path at the base of Uluru, I hear the ancients singing and I recognize the tune, and we go rolling. Got to keep on moving. That big open country, ever farther from my home.
And welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. So nice to be with you today, and thank you for taking your time to be with us. We were just listening to Crazy Cowboy and Big Rolling Country. That's off of Dana Lyons' brand new album, The Three-Legged Coyote. And so, today's guest on the Wild Clearwater Country Show is a friend of mine, Al Poplosky. And we hope to be spending the next hour talking about the U.S. 95 realignment. The Idaho Transportation Department has just issued a draft environmental impact statement. And so for those of you that are not aware of this issue, certainly this radio show, if you can stay tuned in, will kind of inform you about some of the pros and cons of the U.S. 95 alignment. For those of you that are aware of the issue, certainly this this project, this state transportation department project, was widespread throughout the community a number of years ago, and well, that project has resurfaced, and so today we figured we'd do just that. We'd talk about the Idaho Transportation Department proposal to realign or to do something with the 6.5 mile section of highway between Thorn Creek Road and Moscow. And so, Al, thank you for taking time out of your day and being here. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day out there. It's sunny and not real warm, but sunny and beautiful. So
it is. It's really been, the past couple weeks have been a really beautiful wintry mix of snow, ice, freezing temperatures. And so that's the way it should be here on the Palouse. And so what I wanted to start off with, Al, is if you could explain to our listeners what took place a few years ago when the Idaho Transportation Department initially proposed realigning US 95.
Yeah, in the early 2000s, ITD came out with an environmental assessment and a proposal to realign the highway over the shoulder of Paradise Ridge. They called that Alternative 10A. And the environmental assessment doesn't require any different alternatives. They just came out with this proposal. And a lot of people are very concerned about it. People are concerned for a number of reasons. Number one, the weather up there on Paradise Ridge is quite a bit more severe than down lower. People are concerned about the safety regarding that. Also, the view from Moscow. A number of people were concerned about basically destroying a landmark with having this highway go over the shoulder of Paradise Ridge. And there's a lot of concern about that. Also, Sierra Club and other environmental organizations were concerned about wildlife and environmental impacts from everything from wetlands to ungulates, deer, elk up there, wildlife crossings. And so we got together a coalition called the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition and challenged this decision, this environmental assessment, in court. And turns out the law is pretty clear on this. If you're going to realign a highway from two-lane to divided four-lane highway and you're going to change the roadbed location, you have to perform an EIS, an environmental impact statement, which is a much more in-depth study than environmental assessment. So that was back in 2005, I believe, that we won that court case. And it was, like I say, it was an open and shut case. It was summary judgment. The law was very clear. There wasn't any question about it. And so anyways, ITD has had, what, now about 7 to 8 years to do this EIS, which, again, is pretty much unprecedented to take 8 years to do an EIS. I guess there were some problems with funding, but I sure was expecting a really good job as much time as they had. And I got to say that we're pretty disappointed in what they came back with the EIS.
So for those of you that are just tuning in, welcome to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Today's guest is Al Poplawski. We are talking about the draft environmental impact statement that has been issued by the Idaho Transportation Department. The department has communicated or has expressed that the E2 alternative is their preferred alternative. Now, before we get into the E2 alternative, Al, what are the problems with the current 6.5 mile stretch of US 95 between Thorn Creek Road and the southern Moscow city limits?
Well, basically, the highway is not up to standards, to modern highway standards. It has a number of curves, which are dangerous curves, not only because they're curves, but because they're also tilted in the wrong direction. They're not banked. It has a number of hills, which are much steeper than current standards specify. But probably one of the most important things is it has a number of intersections and really bad spots. They're almost blind intersections with county roads. Mm-hmm. One in particular is at the top of a hill, and there's very poor visibility right until you get right to that intersection. So it definitely has a number of dangerous spots. And I think in the EIS there are two spots in that section, that 6.5 mile section, that are in the top 10 accident producing spots in the state of Idaho. So it's definitely a problem, no question about that.
So I believe I've read, okay, so the bottom line with the current 6.5 mile stretch of US 95 is that from an engineering perspective, from a Federal Highway Administration perspective, the highway is not up to snuff.
Right.
It has some problems with it.
And the safety statistics reflect that, yeah.
And the safety statistics reflect that, and the reflection where the rubber meets the road, no pun intended, is that there have been a ton of accidents along this stretch of highway, and some of those accidents have resulted in deaths.
Deaths and injuries, yeah.
Deaths and injuries. Okay, so let's go into explaining the alternatives in the current DEIS. Let's start off with, okay, so it's E2, C3, W4.
Right.
And then no action.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right, the no action.
The no action. It's easy to forget about the no action because agencies don't like to do it, even if they need to put the brakes on something. Okay, so the alternatives in the DEIS are E2, C3, W4. Where would W4 take this 6.5-mile stretch of highway? What would it do in this draft environmental impact statement?
Well, W4 would take off from the top of Reisenauer Hill and head west and then kind of curve to the north, and it would pretty much bypass all the current houses and all the current residences and farms along the current route of Highway 95, and it would actually come back into the current route of Highway 95 right around the Primeland Cooperative, I believe, is where it is.
Okay.
And so it's the definitely the most westernmost alternative.
What do you like about that alternative, or do you have any? How do you feel about the W4 alternative?
Well, actually, I haven't looked at it real seriously, mainly because it's by far the longest alternative.
Okay.
And I just don't think ITD would seriously consider it, but I could be wrong. But
okay. What we do know is that W4 would take would swing the highway west,
right,
and eventually bring it back to the north and to the east, and come up around the Primeland Cooperative, which is just south of the southern city mm-hmm. limits.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Now, C3. I almost want to say C3PO. But I'm a Star Wars generation kid, you know? So how about the C3 alternative in the draft environmental impact statement? My understanding is that the C3 alternative would keep the current height, would keep the highway in its current roadbed. What else would it do?
Okay, well, actually, it would keep it in its current roadbed only for about a mile or so on the northernmost part and a mile or so on the southernmost part. But there would be, I think it's about 4 miles in the middle where it basically cuts off the curves that go to the west, and it goes straight towards Moscow. So there, it's not the whole current roadbed. It's only about one quarter of the current roadbed, I think. Like I said, both the northern and southern reaches. I've looked at C2 a lot, and I've actually compared it. C3.
Yeah.
I've looked at C3 a lot, the central alternative, compared it to the E2, the eastern alternative, the one over the shoulder, Paradise Ridge. And I've really, C3 really has a lot of advantages from, you know, a lot of what I look at is the environmental stuff. And from an environmental standpoint, C3 will have the least effect on wetlands of any of the alternatives. And E2 will actually have twice the effect on wetlands, twice the acreage affected. Wetland acreage affected as C3. Hmm. C3 passes through very poor ungulate habitat, whereas the alternative E2 passes through what's referred to as moderate ungulate habitat. So there's a lot more ungulate habitat, and of course then ungulates up there in the shoulder of Paradise Ridge with the E2 alternative than there is with the C3. And significant for a number of reasons. First of all, we're impacting habitat and destroying habitat, but we're also risking more collisions with the ungulates. There's going to be more ungulates up there on the shoulder of Paradise Ridge than in the C3 alternative. C3 has the least amount of new impervious surface in terms of runoff from vehicles and pollution of our waterways. The other thing is alternative E2 impacts a 4-acre pine stand on the near the southern reach of the alternative. And this is a pine stand that has habitat for the northern alligator, lizard, pygmy nuthatch, and long-eared myotis. That's a bat. And that E2 alternative over the shoulder of Paradise Ridge would pretty much destroy that pine patch. Mm-hmm. And the C3 doesn't have any impacts, anything like that. In particular, one of my greatest concerns environmentally is the Palouse Prairie. This is a very rare habitat. Less than 1% of the Palouse Prairie ecosystem is left. You look out there and you see wheat, you don't see Palouse Prairie.
Yeah.
But there is a significant amount of Palouse Prairie up there in the Paradise Ridge environs, particularly right at the kind of at the top of that shoulder. There's a large patch of prairie that's being preserved. Mm. And then down below that, going down towards the highway, there's in the neighborhood of 30 or 40 smaller patches of prairie that are scattered about. Okay. And in particular, there's one very large proposed prairie restoration area. I don't know the full story on it, but it's in the EIS. It's on the map of the EIS. That stretches from this large patch up there on the top of the shoulder down towards Highway 95, the current Highway 95.
Okay.
And the E2 alternative would actually go right through the edge of that proposed prairie habitat, restored prairie habitat. The C3 alternative would be far away from it. But in the EIS, DEIS, they summarize the impacts on prairie with this statement. The E2 alternative has 24 prairie remnants within 1 kilometer of distance, and that's a little bit misleading in that a lot of those are much very very close to the proposed E2, much closer than just 1 kilometer. So those are 24 remnants, whereas the C3 alternative has only 14. So they're from a number of respects, the central alternative would have much less impact on prairie. Proposed restored prairie than the E2 alternative. And it stated in the EIS that C3 would have the least effect on general wildlife, on wildlife in general. So from an environmental standpoint, C3 is quite favorable compared to E2.
Okay. Now, for those people that are unaware where E2 would exactly go, can you explain to our listeners where would E2 in the draft environmental impact statement? E2 is the preferred alternative of the Idaho Transportation Department. We've talked about W4, how it would swing it to the west. We talked about C3, some of the changes that would occur there. E2, where would it take the highway?
Well, if you're heading south, you're coming up Reisenauer Hill, just think about coming to the top of Reisenauer Hill. And instead of curving to the left and going down again, just keep going straight at the same level. And you're up close to 3,000 feet there, and you would stay at that elevation until, I think, about 2 miles from Moscow. I'm not positive about the distance. And then you would start to come down to rejoin the old roadbed, about the same place near the Prime Land Cooperative as the Western Alternative does.
Okay.
So basically, just think about going up to the top of Reisenauer Hill and staying up there all the way to Moscow.
Gotcha. So this is very interesting. Now, as someone that you know pays attention to campaigns and reads the newspapers and listens to the radio and you know and hears what people are saying on the streets, I've certainly picked up on the and rightfully so the concern for public safety and how the current alignment of US 95 is inadequate. But while going into this objectively, I said, okay, you know, so what's the problems here? Okay, I understand that this current 6.5 mile stretch is causing a lot of accidents. And I said, okay, so Idaho Transportation Department is claiming that the E2 alternative, it seems like they're really hanging their hat on the fact that E2 would provide more safety. And I feel like you kind of have to read the fine print or pull back the curtain here and kind of think independently and kind of think for yourself on what this proposal would do. What we do know is that if E2 is, if they go ahead and do E2, you just said it, it would raise the elevation of the highway approximately 400 feet higher in elevation than its current roadbed.
Right.
And so for someone that's lived here in Moscow for about 7-8 years now, I have certainly observed on more than one occasion that during the winter, really for like a 4 to 6 month stretch, Paradise Ridge has more snow. It has more ice. It's covered in fog. It's windier. We talked about the habitat issue. You got herds of elk, herds of deer, moose, mountain lions, other critters. And further reading about of the DEIS, apparently the E2 preferred alternative would be built from an engineering perspective to allow speeds up to 70 miles an hour.
That's correct.
The posted speed limit, I think, would be 65?
I think it's going to be 65, yeah.
But like I said to someone, build it and they'll come. Well, if you build a highway that can go 100 miles an hour, guess what? People are going to be going 98 miles an hour, you know, because that's what we do.
Yeah, more likely 110, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, 115. So with that being said now, okay, the fog, the ice, the snow, the wind, the visibility, a highway being built to go higher speeds, the possibility of an increase of accidents between, you know, wildlife and people, I'm having a hard time seeing how the E2 alternative will actually increase public safety.
Right. Well, first, we're talking about weather, and let's talk about weather.
Okay.
This was a concern that we brought up very strongly with the environmental assessment back 6-7 years ago. The weather's going to be much more unsafe weather for driving at high speeds up there on the shoulder than down where the current route is. And so in response in the EIS, they have a weather study of sorts. Unfortunately, the weather study only goes for 5 months from January 2005 to May 2005, so it's not even a whole winter. It doesn't even include November and December. And this particular winter was an extremely mild winter. In fact, right in the study it says it was a drought winter. And as a result, there was no snow on the ground during this winter, during this study. The study looked at precipitation, fog, snow, and frost conditions. And under snow, they said we have no data and no analysis due to the fact that there was no snow this year. So this is our first problem with weather analysis. They picked 5 months, which were very atypical, and there wasn't even any snow to look at and compare the routes with the snow.
Yeah,
right there, I'd say it's totally inadequate.
Now, Al, I have a master's degree from the University of Idaho. You work at the University of Idaho. People understand if you try and put together a master's thesis project or you put together any type of project that you have to defend, okay, you need a large sample size.
Yeah.
And so to me, what you're saying right here is that the Idaho Transportation Department is hanging their hat on 1 month, or rather a 5 month sample size that they're hanging their hat on and is saying it shows that weather on Paradise Ridge in this E2 preferred alternative will really not be that much of an impact when talking about public safety.
Yeah, they concluded that there was no difference between this weather study looked at. Unfortunately, it only looked at the eastern alternative and the western alternative. It didn't actually deal with a central alternative, so we really can't say much about the central alternative at all. But
from a weather perspective,
but they do have, you know, some results, which I'll try to summarize quickly. In terms of precipitation, they did find that the Eastern Corridor received 8% more precipitation during that period. And then they used some methods looking at the weather station on the Troy Highway, the Plant Science Farm, at how much precipitation was received there to propose that in a normal year that the Eastern Alternative would receive 27% more precipitation. Now, if you think about this in the winter, it's probably going to be snow, right? So, yeah. But But yeah. We don't have any snow data or snow analysis because there was no snow during the study.
In 2005.
In terms of fog, the eastern alternative during the study, which is inadequate, but nevertheless had 42% more fog in the eastern alternative than the western alternative. So again, in terms of precipitation and fog, that eastern alternative up there in the shoulder of Paradise Ridge is worse.
Okay.
In terms of frost conditions, the western alternative had 24% more frost conditions than the eastern alternative. I would say that the frost conditions and fog, it's hard to say that there's any validity to those because there was no snow on the ground, and we know that snow can affect both of those things.
Yes.
So really, if you look at their results, you would say that the eastern alternative was the worst in three categories, in two out of three categories, in terms of weather conditions. But, again, I don't think we can really make any conclusions.
Yeah. What about wind? What's the wind like on Paradise Ridge compared to, the current U.S. 95 roadbed?
Well, there was no wind analysis in this weather analysis.
Wow.
At all. In fact, it was never even mentioned. With snow, they said there's no snow, so we're not going to analyze it. But they didn't say anything about wind. They didn't say there was no wind, so we're not going to analyze it. They didn't say anything at all.
Okay.
It's all anecdotal. And people who live up there on Paradise Ridge tell you how the wind just screams up there.
Exactly.
And we all know. People who live up on the tops of hills in town tell you about how the wind screams
Up there. It's just common sense. It's just common sense. You live on a mountain, you live on a hill, it's going to be windier.
Right.
You're at a higher elevation, and the weather is just different.
Yeah. So this is really my biggest problem with their safety analysis. Their safety analysis did not consider weather because their weather analysis said there's really no reason to consider it, but it was totally inadequate weather analysis. The other thing I want to point out is that the purpose and need... Safety is a big part of the purpose and need in this action, and they state that safety, purpose, and need is met with all three alternatives. Any of the three alternatives do meet that need for that purpose and need for safety, and they all do reduce the accident rates according to their modeling to about a third or so of what they are right now. So very, very significant reduction, all three of them.
Okay.
Any
one of the alternatives, E2, C3, W4, if one of those alternatives were chosen and implemented, then you're saying it'd be safer. Whichever alternative they took, it'd be safer than what they have right now.
And safer to make it worthwhile, according to their... They say it does meet that need. What else was I going to say about
Does
safety?
Their analysis say anything about mitigating accidents between wildlife crossings and people on the highway? If you're going to build the E2 alternative, does there anything in their analysis say this is how we're going to mitigate possible wildlife crossing accidents?
No. I think they considered that briefly, and their data shows that the current rates of wildlife accidents on the current route are not the highest in the state, so they're not terribly significant in their opinion, and they don't see any need to do that.
Okay.
But as mentioned before, there are definitely going to be more wildlife incidents up there in the better ungulate habitat than down lower in the worse ungulate habitat.
I think that's a very logical conclusion.
Yeah.
You know, you would think that ITD would come to that conclusion also.
Right. Oh, well, okay, you just remind me, they are going to do something. With the eastern alternative, with the E2, they're going to...
They're going to build a fence along the highway?
Are they going to build a
wildlife crossing bridge?
They're going to cut everything down. Destroy all that habitat. So by destroying all that habitat...
Oh, that solves the problem.
That takes care of the problem.
Oh, what a win-win situation we have here. The Idaho way, chop it down and build over it. I love it. I just love it. And so, hey, you're listening to Wild Clearwater Country Show. For those of you that are just joining us today, we're joined by Al Poplawski, and we're talking about the draft environmental impact statement that has been recently issued by the Idaho Transportation Department. We're talking about the E2, C3, W4, 34 alternative. Specifically, as we all know, and we do take this seriously here, the 6.5 mile stretch of highway between you, between Thorn Creek Road and the southern Moscow city limits are dangerous. For a number of reasons, and there's a number of accidents that are causing injuries and deaths, and that is a horrible situation that we want to see corrected. And so the E2, the C3, W4 are alternatives that are built into the draft environmental impact statement that are supposed to correct this situation. Now, Al, I want to get back to the E2 alternative. Let's talk about aesthetics, view sheds, and even recreation. If the E2 alternative is implemented, how could those be impacted? Let's start with aesthetics and view sheds.
Well, my understanding is from many places in the city of Moscow, you'll be able to look towards the shoulder of Paradise Ridge and see the highway coming across it. And actually, their study indicated that the E2 alternative would have twice the visual impact as EC3.
That makes sense to me.
Well, it seems like it'd be more to me, but still, twice is pretty significant.
I don't know how you put necessarily a numerical value on that.
Yeah.
You know, twice or three times, but you're talking about building along the base of Paradise Ridge. So from a aesthetics perspective, you're saying you would see a ton of highway up there.
Yeah, you'd see that highway. And, you know, there are going to be big cuts. So it's not going to be like you have to look for it. Yeah. It's going to be pretty darn
It's not like
going to
be a hiking trail along the ridge. We're talking about a four-lane highway.
It's going to destroy the view of Paradise Ridge. Yeah.
And I share the same opinion. From an aesthetic perspective, from a view shed perspective, when you wake up in the morning or when you go on that walk or when you're in your living room looking out your window, instead of seeing the natural Paradise Ridge, you're going to see a ridge with a big four-lane highway across it and all these lights going across it, too.
At night, yeah, sure.
At night.
And, you know, every morning I open the shade in my kitchen window and I look out at Paradise Ridge, and I really enjoy that. It's a big deal to me to look out at Paradise Ridge every morning.
Yeah,
and now I'll be able to see the highway going across that shoulder if they do go with this E2 alternative.
So you said something about lights. How about lights and noise that highway could bring? How does that impact the view shed or the aesthetics or those people that own properties in that area?
Yeah, well, they did a little analysis of that in the DEIS, and their statement says that E2 alternative over the shoulder would have 7 noise effects, and the C3 would have only 1 noise effect. I think these are affecting residents that are close to the highway.
Okay.
That's what that is.
Right.
I didn't see any analysis of lights or anything like that. That's a good point, especially at night. I do want to make the point that the city of Moscow the city of Moscow, they make the statement in the EIS that the city of Moscow views the central alternative, C3, as being most consistent with city or area of impact land use goals. So, and they also make the statement that the eastern alternative over the shoulder would be a problem with the proposed ring road with Moscow. So, it sure seems to me like the city is not real happy about, shouldn't be happy about the C2 alternative.
Now, what you're reading, now is that was that an official city position from 7-8 years ago?
What it is a statement in the EIS. I don't know where it came from. Came from ITD.
I see.
A statement in the EIS.
I see.
So.
Okay, so let's see here. So we've been talking about E2, C3, W4. We've gone over the alternatives. We've talked a lot about public safety. And so outside of public safety concerns, so I was thinking about this last night at home. And I thought, you know, I said, so here's a project that proposes to pretty much rip up, pave over, and destroy X amount of acres of native Palouse Prairie. And now we know that there's less than 1% of native Palouse Prairie in the entire planet. And I believe that the Palouse Prairie is the most endangered ecosystem on the planet. Okay? But what I was also giving some thought to is trying to think about our connection to this place. We call this area the Palouse. We call it the Palouse because of the Palouse Prairie and all of the things that it has provided to us over the courses of the hundreds and thousands of years. And now we just have this little piece, little chunk, 1% less of the native Palouse Prairie. And so now, as a community, we're considering a project that would greatly impact some of the best and last remaining native Palouse Prairie. So for me, from an ethical perspective, from a conscious perspective, as someone that's proud to live here in Moscow and say, oh, you know, what's one of the cool things about the Moscow? Well, we've got the native Palouse Prairie, and it provides habitat for this, and it looks like that, and it does this. And now to think that we're considering a project that would really impact that, to me, it has a ripple effect into who we are. Into what we believe in, into why we're living here, into how we look at the natural landscape and our relationship with it, and is there not a better way that we can fix the current problem on the highway, but still take care of the place that brought us here to settle in the first place?
Right. That was really nice, Brett. But I do want to point out that actually, according to the analysis, the E2 alternative will not actually be going through any prairie patches. It'll be coming close to some.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected. Okay.
And it's the one that will impact the prairie the most.
Yeah.
The impact that you might imagine from this is, first of all, noxious weeds are a real threat to Palouse Prairie.
And that's
it's
a
real
point.
Real problem trying to keep your Palouse Prairie from being taken over by noxious weeds. And so the traffic on the highway adjacent to these prairie patches will be a threat in terms of that. But also, if you think about it, you put the highway up there.
Yeah.
What's going to happen up there? There'll be some nice home sites up there, maybe. And,
well, that's interesting. I've heard.
I've seen more development up there because of that.
You know, I was talking to someone, they said just that. So who's to say that if the E2 alternative is not put forth, that there's not going to be any further development? If you're a property holder and now you have a highway going through your property, who's to say that you're not going to want to develop it and put in a gas station or put in a strip mall or start building condominiums?
Oh, my gosh. The picture of a strip mall up there. Oh, my gosh. I hadn't pictured that in my mind, Brett. I really hadn't.
I apologize for bringing the morale of the studio down here. But another thing that someone brought forth to me is that who's to say that this E2 alternative wouldn't eventually lead to more dangerous intersections if that stretch of highway is built?
Well, you know, actually, I do remember something in the DEIS about that where they implied because of the right-of-way, the type of right-of-way they were going to obtain, that would be difficult. And that's about all I remember. And I don't know, you know.
Well, it's a good thing.
Yeah, that could be a good thing. But the one thing I want to talk a little bit more about prairie. So I mentioned that you have this big tract up there in the shoulder, up above where the eastern alternative would be. You have all these little patches scattered around that would be possibly impacted by the eastern alternative. But then I mentioned that big proposed restored patch is really a large acreage. I don't remember how many acreage, but it stretches down from that big patch on the shoulder down to where that right. And the eastern alternative
would right up to the highway.
The highway would actually go through the edge of it from the looks of it.
Okay.
Well, if you think about the current prairie and the proposed prairie, I mean, this is a real opportunity to get a really large acreage of prairie somewhere on the Palouse, right there on Paradise Ridge.
Are we talking about hundreds of acres here? You're not sure, which is fine.
I don't have acreage figures.
But you're talking about
hundreds of acres right now, but we're talking about thousands potentially, right?
Wow, I see.
I mean, a really major thing. Now, obviously, that whether or not that were ever to take place is a question, but putting that highway up there in the shoulder would pretty much preclude that opportunity. I mean,
you would
it would
think
probably be the end of that opportunity.
I see, right. Yeah. Okay. This Saturday, what's going on this Saturday? I think something's coming out in the newspaper tomorrow. I think there's going to be some flyers that are going to be posted around the community. Let's talk about a forum and followed by a day hike. What's going on this Saturday, Al?
Okay, so Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition is sponsoring, as Brett said, a forum should go about an hour and a half, starting at noon at the 1912 Center on 3rd Street in Moscow. Right across from the highway in the great room. I don't remember
right
the
across
address
from the
there.
Moscow High School.
right across from the Moscow High School. Did I say highway? Yeah.
Understood. Understandable. You got your mind on a highway.
Anyways, so we're going to have about an hour and a half informational session. We'll have some speakers on detailing the EIS, a lot of what we talked about today, a little bit more detail. We'll have somebody to talk about Palouse Prairie. I think we'll probably have somebody just to talk about Paradise Ridge, who lives up there, and really give you a feel for Paradise Ridge.
Yeah, some people that own property live up there.
Yeah. And we'll have a question and answer session. Hopefully, we will have some bumper stickers, those famous bumper stickers.
Yeah, now,
Don't Pave Paradise.
Please say the name of the bumper sticker.
Don't Pave Paradise.
I think it's got to be one of the most just coolest names for a campaign.
Yeah. They were really popular, those bumper
stickers. Wow, they were all over the place. I still see them quite frequently.
There's still a lot of them out there on car. People that kept their cars for 7 years. That's unusual, but a few people do, in Moscow. So we're going to do that for about an hour and a half. So then about 1:30 or 2, we have a field trip planned out to the site. We're going to go out to Costumro's place, which is near I Road, which is near the southernmost part of the E2 alternative. Okay. And he's the one that owns that 4-acre woodlot that'll be destroyed by the E2 alternative.
That's the pine woodlot.
The pine woodlot.
Okay.
And he also has a prairie patch that would be significantly impacted by the E2 alternative. And my understanding is it'd be right in his front yard. So we'll go there, and he'll show us those, and we'll talk a little bit about the route in that area, and then we'll visit some residents up towards the middle of the route, and we'll be able to stand in a spot where we can look over towards that pine, from that pine patch, we'll be able to look at the route all the way over to Moscow, so we'll get a real good sense of where that E2 alternative would be going.
From a viewshed perspective.
Yeah, a view of that.
Okay, so Al, plug it again. This Saturday, what time at the 1912 Center?
This Saturday at noon at the 1912 Center.
What room is it going to be in?
It's going to be in the great room, that big room with all the windows. Right when you walk up to the building, you just walk right in through the doors with all the windows. And I'd really encourage you to go there to learn more about this. And we'll have fact sheets you can take about the different alternatives. And I also want to mention then that the ITD is having their public input on the 23rd, so that's a week from today.
It is.
Wednesday. Mm-hmm. From 2 to 8:30 in the afternoon and evening at the Best Western, University in Best Western, right on the edge of the campus there on Highway 8. And there will be opportunity to give input in terms of written input, and also I believe they're going to have opportunity to give vocal input, I think around 5 or 5:30. They'll have kind of a meeting where you can get up and talk in the microphone.
Okay, so there we go. So this Saturday, 1912 Center in the Great Room, the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition is hosting a citizen forum in which questions will be answered and ideas will be exchanged, and people will be able to learn more about this draft environmental impact statement, what's at stake, what are the advantages, what are the cons, and then afterwards, people are just going to carpool and go on this field trip.
We'll arrange some carpooling, right?
Okay, so it's really so for those of you that are listening, if you have Saturday afternoon free and you're really concerned about this proposal, show up to the 1912 Center between 12 and 1-ish.
Yeah, sure.
And I mean, if you can't attend the whole thing, starts at 12. But if you the field trips looks like it's gonna be like a 2 to 4 slot in the afternoon.
That sounds about right. Yep.
Okay, and then a week from today, the Idaho Transportation Department is hosting a public hearing or an open house of some sorts in which you have the opportunity to submit a public comment, either orally or written, as well as ask questions to Idaho Transportation Department officials.
Correct, yep.
And now, last but not least, February 23rd, as of right now, February 23rd is the public comment deadline.
Right, right. That'll be a month after their open house. Right.
Be about a month. That's right. So you still have a whole month to comment. So for those of you that have been listening today, we've been joined by Al Poplosky. We've been talking about the reformation of the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition, the current problems with the U.S. 95, that stretch of highway between Thorn Creek and the southern Moscow city limits. The draft environmental impact statement is out for public comment. We're looking at an E2 C3 W4 alternative. The Transportation Department has expressed that E2 is their preferred alternative, and so we encourage all of you to spend some time either reading the draft environmental impact statement, talking with people that know a lot about the draft environmental impact statement, or attending some meetings. Let's talk about the loop road real quick. What exactly is the loop road, and how do, where does the loop road, a future loop road, tie into this current realignment project?
Well, yeah, actually, I think it's referred to as the ring road.
Ring road.
It's something that's proposed by the city, but it's not something that's going to happen next year. If you know what I mean, it's just kind of an idea at this point. And the idea is to divert major traffic, industrial traffic, or traffic that doesn't want to stop in Moscow, diverted around town so we don't have these huge trucks going down our main streets downtown, continuously.
And I see it every day.
The logging trucks and everything else.
I see it every day. I'm afraid to get ran over five days a week.
And as I mentioned, the C3 alternative is compatible with that ring road. Apparently there are some major problems with that eastern alternative, E2 and the ring road concept. I don't know what the details are, but this is what the EIS says.
But the Idaho Transportation Department, in that draft environmental impact statement, does say that the E2 alternative would pose more challenges if a future ring road was built.
Exactly.
And that C3 would be more compatible with that. And so that's just something I think that we all need to keep in mind as community members, and we need to look at the big picture. In my opinion, the U.S. 95 realignment is an important part of a much larger puzzle, and that is what is the community of Moscow and our infrastructure going to look like 5 years from now, 15 years from now, 45 years from now. I think the ring road is eventually going to be built. I think it's needed, and so I think this project, we need to consider how will this project impact a future ring road.
Right, right, and that's a good point. I mean, we're not just doing this for next year. This highway is going to be there for what?
Generations.
50 years? 100 years? Who knows?
That they have 50 years, exactly.
Yeah. And, and we need to look at that big picture and consider everything in the future, including the potential to restore the prairie, but also safety-wise. We want to make sure we do pick a safe route.
Absolutely.
And because safety is going to be for long term.
Is a high priority, not only for, I think it's a high priority for everyone. And we need to, from what I understand, it's very important to the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition and the citizens and the member groups of that coalition.
Right. Absolutely.
Safety number one. But safety can be achieved in the E2, the C3, or the W4
correct.
Alternative.
And and I want to emphasize, it's not an either or. It is an either environment. We preserve the environment or we have safety. We don't have to look at it that way.
I feel like we can do both.
We can do both.
Yes.
We can take either maybe the western, but certainly the central. One thing I didn't mention is the roads that big cities generally have for access. That go along parallel to the freeways. What's the term I'm looking for?
Let's see here. The roads that parallel the highways, is that what you said?
Yeah, and then you come to somewhere where you can get on the highway.
Yeah, an intersection.
Yeah, but
there's a different word for it.
They're not access roads. They're I can never remember that.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, anyways, this is something that could be considered in terms of reducing the amount of intersections with the central alternative, which
entrance
was not.
Roads? Are they entrance roads?
Yeah.
That's okay, but your point is that what?
That this was not considered with the central alternative, and it would make that C3 alternative safer to have some of these roads to reduce those access points, because according to their analysis, the C3 alternative was a little bit less safe than the E2. But they didn't consider having these kind of roads to reduce those intersections and reduce potential accidents with intersections. So,
you know, people that listen to this show, you know how I feel about the Idaho Transportation Department. To me, you know, to me, they're idiots total delight because they just can't seem to do much right. But outside of my own personal opinion, the Idaho Transportation Department seems to have put forth a very flawed draft environmental impact statement.
Well, and it's really disappointing how long it's taken them to put forth this really poor document.
Yeah.
The term is frontage roads.
Oh, frontage roads.
Right. So,
oh, okay.
So in other words, you reduce the number of intersecting roads with the highway with these frontage roads, and then you
right.
have every mile or two or three, you have somewhere where people can get on and off the highway.
Okay, because you at the beginning of the hour, we talked about that there's frontage roads in blind spots.
Intersections
and blind spots,
right.
and so to wrap this show up here, we do not have to build the E2 alternative to meet public safety, and that if we could stick with we could do things within the C3 alternative that statistically and according to the draft environmental impact statement would increase the level of public safety, would decrease the amount of accidents that would happen, and at the same time, we still wouldn't run into all of the problems, potential problems, that the E2 alternative could bring.
Right. It's not the environment or safety.
That's a false
premise.
Yeah, I don't like how they frame that argument.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfair.
We can do both.
We can do both. Yep. So there you go, folks. Al, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Brad.
Thank you very much.
It's fun to be on here with you.
Good to have you on the radio. Yeah. Al Poplosky. Hey, Al, a last plug here. How can someone get involved with the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition? How can they get involved?
Just come on Saturday. It's Saturday at noon at the 1912 Center in Moscow. Yep.
Okay. Well, there you go. You've been listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show, and it is my responsibility to remind our listeners that the views expressed on the Wild Clearwater Country Show are not necessarily those of KRFP Moscow, Friends of the Clearwater, or any other organizations. And with that being said, I think I'll jump into the weather report here, and then we're going to jump into regular programming. Al, again, thanks for being here. We'll see you Saturday, 12 noon, great room of the 1912 Center.
Perfect. See you there, Brad.
Okay, thank you, Al. All right, well, boy, oh boy, what a great interview. Al Poplosky, certainly a real leader on this issue. He's been involved with this issue for probably 7, 8, 9 years now. And so I have a lot of respect for Al. He's a community leader. And I totally agree with him. How we frame this particular project, it's not environment versus public safety. It's not environmentalists versus the transportation industry. We can have both. We can provide public safety first and foremost, but we can also preserve what's left of the native Palouse Prairie and the undeveloped Paradise Ridge landscape. I think it's very doable. We just need to think outside of the box and think independently. So, tonight, looking at this weather report here, mostly clear with a low around 19. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 35. Thursday night, partly cloudy with low around 21. Friday, sunny with a high near 34. Friday night, mostly clear with low around 20. Saturday, sunny with a high near 36. Saturday night, mostly clear with low around 21. Sunday, sunny with a high near 37. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 24. And on Monday, Martin Luther King Day, sunny with a high near 37. Hey, thanks for listening. This has been the Wild Clearwater Country Show. This is KRFP Moscow.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and Hyperspud Sports, specializing in equipment for outdoor adventures. Hyperspud Sports is located at 402 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, call 208-883-1150 or visit hyperspud.com.
KRFP is also supported by
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.
Yo, this is the original Daddy Cool Squadron, KRFP Moscow. Yeah, let's go.
Welcome to Between the Lines, presenting news and analysis of critical issues affecting our region, the nation, and the world. This week we present author and activist Norman Solomon, who examines why the House Progressive Caucus repeatedly yields to Obama administration concessions made to the Tea Party-controlled GOP. Glenn Collins, an activist arrested in December during a direct action protest to stop construction of the Keystone XL pipeline in Texas, who talks about why he's working to build solidarity across the movement opposing the fossil fuel extraction industry. And Ava Golinger, editor-in-chief of Correo del Orinoco